Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Pulitzer Prize winner and biographer John Meacham has created a special illustrated edition of his New York Times bestselling biography, Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power, for young readers. The book is entitled Thomas Jefferson, President and Philosopher. Many know Thomas Jefferson as the third president of the United States and one of the authors of the Declaration of Independence, but Jefferson was also a lawyer, an ambassador, an inventor, and a scientist. In this adaptation, young readers get to know Jefferson firsthand through sections of his original writings and correspondences, as well as sections about his inventions and wide range of interests and hobbies. John Meacham is the author of Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power, An American Lion, his Pulitzer Prize-winning biography of Andrew Jackson, and it's a great pleasure to welcome John Meacham to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Delighted. Thank you.
What brought you to put together a book on Thomas Jefferson for a younger audience?
Well, I think it's important to get as many young folks as we can engaged in the broad historical conversation. Being interested in history, I think, is a pretty good antidote to the colossal depression that most people have when they consider politics today. If you know that things have been rough in the past and we've overcome them, then I think you're more likely to be engaged by and understand that it is a worthy endeavor. And so there is no better one-stop shopping in understanding what's great about the country and what needs working on than Thomas Jefferson.
Talk about how this came out of The Art of Power, Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power, which was a much larger biography and for adults, but looking and taking those elements, and I assume, did you start thinking about that while you were working on it, that this could be adapted for such an audience?
Well, one of the things you do when you're doing any book is you're trying to figure out, you know, if you're doing it right anyway, you're thinking about your reader all the time. And so it's interesting, when I was out talking about The Art of Power, I realized, and people would ask me, as they do sometimes, you know, what was important when you were growing up to read? And one of the things that I kept coming back to was most of the historical books that I had read in early school were novels, Johnny Tremaine or Howard Fast's April Morning, and very few biographies. And that sparked a conversation, which was, is there a way to do biography as a kind of gateway? Don't want to say gateway drug, but that's kind of what I mean, to get younger folks engaged in the past in a way that, you know, makes it clear that the past is not dreary. You know, it's not this is not full of perfect people doing great things that somehow or another irretrievable and remote, but that these were human beings driven by ambition and appetite who managed to do some great things along the way. And the more you know that imperfect people have done great things, if you see yourself as an imperfect person, which is what I think most of us do, then maybe we too can do something in our own time that will leave a lasting mark.
The subtitle of the book is President and Philosopher, and certainly we understand the presidential part. Why did you want to include philosopher in the title?
Because Jefferson was not simply a politician. He was a man of endless appetite, of endless curiosity. He was a farmer. He was an architect. He was a great lover of food and of wine, and of he's a scholar, spoke five or six languages. He was someone who spent an enormous amount of time engaging all the possibilities of life, and so he's not simply a president. He was a figure of American achievement and American curiosity that, and innovation, that really represents the best we can be when we're firing on all pistons. And so understanding him both as a politician and as someone who was engaged in the broader culture seemed important.
In handling, as you said, you were talking about the imperfections of someone living an imperfect life and yet still making an impression and an impact on our country. So as far as the imperfections of his life, how did you want to talk about those, and how important do they become in the narrative when you look at what he did accomplish for us as a nation that we're talking to him all this these many years later?
Well, they're inextricably intertwined, his vices and his virtues, his good days and his bad days. Are inescapable. So here's a man who, for instance, wrote the most famous sentence about human liberty in the English language, you know, that all men are created or endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And yet he was a perpetuator, defender of African-American slavery to the end of his life. His sins were the nation's sins. He was someone who was capable of remarkable foresight and remarkable self-protection at the same time. And so my own view is that you have to engage both sides of that. We don't have to embrace the founders in a unnuanced way. You know, this is not about Mount Rushmore. It's not about only singing hymns of praise to their achievement. It's understanding that these were people who made huge mistakes and yet were also capable of doing remarkably good things, which again I think is where we are now in many ways. I don't think we learn very much from people in the past if we look up at them adoringly or down on them condescendingly. I think we learn the most when we look them in the eye and try to take them for what they were in their time.
And it is interesting because you try to say, okay, well, here is this aspect of the life, and he's saying this, and yet he's doing that. So does that not show us a character of a man and filter through to other decisions that he made?
Absolutely. I mean, he was a politician. And what do politicians do? Politicians manufacture coalitions of opinion to solve particular problems in a given time. And so here's a man who was philosophically committed to limited government, right? That was one of his big defining issues, was that he was not going to mindlessly expand the federal establishment. But when he was president in 1803, the opportunity to buy Louisiana, to double the size of the country, make us more of a continental power, comes up. He has to decide, because of the circumstances of the moment, is he going to move largely unilaterally, violating his own philosophy, his long-held, long-articulated philosophy, because the circumstances of the moment and the good of the country demands a different approach. He decides to do the different approach and justifies it quite explicitly, saying that sometimes you do things in the heat of the moment that might not line up with your cooler philosophy. But that's the nature of leadership. It's the nature of American power. It's the nature of politics. And does that make him a hypocrite? I suppose in the most narrow sense of the word, yeah. But it also made him a great president.
The name of the book is Thomas Jefferson, President and Philosopher. The book is published by Crown. John Meacham, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Again, the title of the book, Thomas Jefferson, President and Philosopher. It is published by Crown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.